You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people. And welcome to Breadline on this sunny day in Melbourne, in Nam. So, yeah, it's good to be here in the studio. I'm here in full control. No one else seems to be around in the studio. But anyway, that's fun. And I hope everyone's having a good break. And just a few sort of reflections, really. Where the Unemployed Workers Union, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, operates around the country, and we operate by providing peer-to-peer support for people. And as part of that, we operate our advocacy line, which is now started up after a few weeks break for the volunteers. So if you have any problems with Centrelink or the job centres, please call us on 1-800-289-848. That's between 10 till 2, Monday to Friday. And you can talk to a real person, no recorded messages or anything like that. So, yeah, feel free to get in touch. And, so over the last few weeks, I've been talking a bit about following the money, and I've been talking about that site which allows you to sort of look up if, for example, the organisation that's running your job centre is actually donating to the main political parties, which in a lot of cases it is. And that's called Donation Watch. I just mentioned it when I was on the show last week. And so, in that vein, there's been some hot news that just came out yesterday. And it's in that vein of following the money. So it came out via The Guardian, and it's pretty interesting. So an outsourced call centre operator for Centrelink has paid no corporate tax for several years, even after winning a major government agency contract worth tens of millions of dollars, Guardian Australia revealed. The Perth-headquartered company Telco Services Australia generated more than $185 million in revenue in 24-25, but has reported no taxable income, financial documents show. The year before, it reported $130 million in income and also paid zero tax. The two-year reporting period coincides with the company's multi-year $90 million-plus contract to run call centre operations for Services Australia. So that Centrelink and Services Australia, both organisations which people who are on various payments will be aware of. So this is a quote from Jason Ward, who's the principal analyst at the Centre for International Corporate Tax Accountability and Research. And they said that the business appeared to be structured in ways to have avoided reporting and tax obligations in Australia. He said the federal government should subject those bidding for public contracts to a higher level of transparency. So there is no suggestion that the company or its directors have acted illegally. But what's happened is that, you know, the financial documents, which were lodged actually on Christmas Eve, show that there was $166.5 million in related party transactions at last financial year, and there was no detail about the identity of related parties. And so these payments virtually eliminate profits for the company, according to Jason Ward. So at the same time, payments for directors and key management personnel increased during the 12-month period, the documents show, even after it reported a financial loss. Telco Services is one of the operational arms of a Perth-based entity known as TSA Group. The group says it has a team of more than 4,300 workers operating in five contact centres across Australia and the Philippines. Along with its government agency contract, the group runs outsourced operations for major corporations, including Telstra and NRMA. The Guardian contacted a TSA group spokesperson who said that while they did not record taxable income, other associated entities did, and the appropriate amount of tax has been paid by them. I suppose the point that the article is making is that really the population of Australia have a right to know exactly who the people are who are being given these cushy contracts, and actually can, you know, be, they need to be completely open about what their financial situation is. The spokesperson said that the entities which paid the tax were not required to meet public reporting requirements, and that they had, telco services had paid tax in prior years. They described the related party transactions as costs incurred for services provided. So, yes, I mean, they've done a good job, really, of seeming to be squeaky clean, but, of course, being quite... unless if they hadn't been this organisation, which I hadn't heard of before, the Centre for International Corporate Tax Accountability and Research, digging around, probably, you know, this wouldn't have really come to anyone's attention, and also the fact that it was written up in The Guardian. So, yes, another of its operational arms called Telco Sales holds a flagship contract with Telstra. They paid tax but in 2022-3, but received a partial refund. While the telco services arm of the TSA holds the Services Australia contract, the staff are employed by a different entity called TriMatic Management Services. Now, this is another thing that just makes your blood boil a bit. TriMatic received $5 million in grant funding from the West Australian government in 2024 to expand call centre jobs in the state. So, yes, once again, of course, they love the raw cut and thrust of private enterprise, but they are happy to receive basically our government's money for this as well. They have their hands out, basically. A spokesperson for Services Australia said the agency hosts one of the largest contact centre networks in the country, and its workforce is built on a base of mostly permanent Australian public service centre staff. Centrelink also uses a separate outsourced operator, Concentrix, to run some of its call centre operations. So there we have it. Sorry to hit you on a sort of summer's evening with this sort of heavy data, but I just think, just as in, you know, the job centres being happy to throw a bit of money around to the various political parties, I think this is the stuff we need to do, because we do need to follow the money. Yes, and so you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and here's a couple of community announcements.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Yes, Yes, so that was a good reminder that, of course, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on our advocacy line doesn't hand out legal advice, but we have the amazing Social Security Rights Victoria that can help us, and there are other organisations in other states that will help you. For example, if you've been accused of being in debt to Centrelink through no fault of your own or whatever, they're the people to contact with those sort of issues. So as people might know, people who know me, I regularly am on the streets of Naarm as well as the streets of Wonthaggi, where I live. But it was good news as well over the last few days to see that the Victorian Police have revoked their declaration of Melbourne CBD and surrounds as a designated area, so they did that 4 months earlier than planned, meaning they won't be able to conduct warrantless searches from last Friday. So no more of that business. But of course, they still may try and do that kind of thing. So in that case, you know, make sure you've got a witness and get straight on to one of the community legal services. So they updated their website apparently last Friday to say that it would end. And interestingly enough, they did not provide a reason. However, there's an urgent hearing of a challenge to this declaration of a designated area, and that was being due to begin today in the federal court, and it was brought by Invasion Day rally organiser Tarneen Onus Brown and environmental activist Benny Zabel. People might remember Benny Zabel's the one who's often in costume reminding people about the link between nuclear and the war machine and so on. So, yes, yeah, so they had this challenge to the declaration starting today. So, yes, that's a good bit of news. But, of course, who knows, that you never know quite what governments will do in regards to bringing in more laws. But for whatever reason, probably because they didn't want to get hauled into court, that actual declaration is not standing as of today or Friday, really. So as mentioned before, yes, if you have any problems with Centrelink or job centres, give our advocacy line a call, or do contact Breadline as well, and maybe you'd like to come on the show in the new year. So I follow a lot of the pages where people are sort of raising issue, you know, the kind of survival things that happen when you're on payments. So one question that came up in the last week was, does Services Australia call on a weekend? So that was the question, because people are quite concerned when they get rung on a weekend because it could be a scammer. So the answer was yes, they can call you on a weekend. Apparently, if they're trying to catch up with a backlog, they call you, but they're supposed to text you first, and they'll identify themselves as from Services Australia, and they should read you a privacy message. So then they'll advise a reason for the call, and ideally you could have a pre-call SMS so that you're less caught on the hop and less worried that maybe there's a scam going on. But I would be very wary about being rung, especially out of the blue. And I do know one of my neighbours in Wonthaggi got rung on a weekend and was given some unsolicited advice about how she should dress for a job interview. And it completely blindsided her, particularly because it was on a weekend. So, yeah, so it's something to remember out there in Centrelink land. And here's another one. I mean, this is an ongoing problem, the problem of people trying to get on the disability support pension. And this is a rather desperate message. Over 2 years without proper diagnosis, my body is giving in from a severe back injury to inflamed joints and a condition called drop foot. Currently seeing a psychologist who has suggested I have functional neurological disorder and PTSD, which I was unaware of, but I'm able to work apparently. I'm not eligible for disability pension as my conditions are not diagnosed and reasonably treated. They are inhumane. My life as a neurod is over. I can't do the things I like, let alone work. So, Yeah. The nice thing is on these sort of actually it's Facebook pages, but people come up with very sort of supportive info and help people who are, you know, feeling a bit desperate. Anyway, this person said, rant over, sorry, apologized. But this the union has got people who are experienced with the many pitfalls of applying for the disability support pension. And these days you can also, of course, yes, they try and make you work or apply for jobs. So, yeah, contact us again, and if you are having that particular issue that this person raised. So, yes, we will be continuing to sort of fight on. In fact, we're suggesting a bit of a summer offensive where union members are going to go and just talk to some of the job centres that sort of cluster around our shopping centres. And, you know, with, again, a lot of people who haven't experienced what the job centres put people through assume that they're sort of in all goodness helping people get jobs. But as we know, the punitive system that operates in this country means that, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it's the modern equivalent of digging a hole and filling it in, which is applying for jobs, changing as Daryl, who was on the show, has mentioned, you know, changing the typeface on your resume, all that kind of basically not meaningful activity. Yeah, so if you do, as I said earlier, you're listening to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, broadcasting from wonderful 3CR. And I was also going to mention when we were all doing our training about how to actually operate a studio and the related skills to do with that, I met a presenter who does a program fortnightly on Fridays at 9 a.m. Really interesting. It's called Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence Down. And so that's just really about the whole thing about trying to grow your own food and the fact that, you know, the poisons industry makes it quite hard to forage for say edible weeds because a lot of them are poison. So don't forget to listen to that show, which is on fortnightly on 3CR. Yeah, it's a good one. And yeah, so the other thing later on in a couple of weeks, there's a few things happening. And funnily enough, they're happening in Wonthaggi and in Naam. And that's the commemoration of the lives of Tunaminawait Mulbohina, Traganini, Planobina and Paitaruna, who were the five people who broke away from the early settlement, invasion of their lands in 1842, Tunaminawait and Mulbohina were given the death penalty and hung in the early Naam settlement by white people. So, so in Wonthaggi, that's going to be, they're going to be commemorated at 10 a.m. on the 20th of January. And then in Naam, there's going to be a meeting at midday at the monument on the corner of Victoria Street and Franklin Street. So yes, a bit of a connection between Wonthaggi and Naam, because the reason we remember them in Wonthaggi is that they were captured. They ran away from the early invasion and got down to our area. And unfortunately, they were captured there and brought back into Naam. So, yeah, anyway, that's something to put on your list of things to do in January. And 3CR is going to be broadcasting live from the commemoration in Naam from midday on the 20th. So, yeah, so I'm going to be playing the Les Thomas song about Tunaminawait Mulbohina at the end of the show. And, just to sort of, it's very, our union's got plans for this year. As I mentioned, there's going to be a campaign about the partner income test. I mentioned that last show about the fact that if you get together with someone and move in with them, and if that one person has a high income, the other person automatically has any payments they're on taken away. And so that's going to be one of the strong campaigns this year, I think. But also just the trying to look at the way the so-called welfare system in this country affects people, and continuing to sort of battle the fact that people's payments are being suspended, and the whole penalty points system, which means that you can accrue a number of penalties and then your payment could be reduced or suspended. And there was, for some people who are on the disability support pension, that was on hold, those suspensions. But unfortunately, as of last week, they're back in. So I think all the organisations, like our sister organisations, like the Anti-Poverty Centre, will be continuing to campaign on that. And yes, we want justice. We don't want to feel all the time that conditional welfare is restricting our lives. Like the person I read out from earlier, the person who feels as if because of their disabilities, their life's over, and they are still going to be harassed and expected to apply for jobs and so on. Not good, not good. This system can't really continue the way it is because it's affecting so many people's lives. So I suppose that's a bit of a rant from me. But it's great being on 3CR to talk about these real things and hear all the other great programs. I love listening to the Climate Action Show. And so keep on listening to us and all the other shows on 3CR. So we'll be back at 6 o'clock next Monday. And after this show, you'll be hearing from the Eritrean Voices show. So that's goodbye from me, and stay listening for this song from Les Thomas, which is about the freedom fighters who I was just mentioning, Tanaminawe Mulbohina.
Men hanged here in Melbourne town. Tanaminawe and Mulbohina wouldn't bow before the crown. In January 1842, 5,000 stood on Bowen Street with a twisted sense of justice amid the cheers, dust and heat. Far from their ancestral homes, down in Van Diemen's Land, they knew their lives would be in vain if they didn't take a stand. And Tanaminawe's first memory was the slaughter of his kin, when the war of dispossession landed at Cape Grim. Mulbohina would have led his clan if he ever had the chance. And he saw all the bloody suffering of the settlers' advance. All the redcoats and the convicts tried to wipe them out with lead. Sent their black line across the island, saying no one would be spared. Tanaminawe and Mulbohina, your names will be remembered. The warriors went with Robinson on the friendly mission trail, spreading word among the people, to survive we must set sail. And so many struggled to remember what was friendly anymore. 15 went with Robinson to the Port Phillip colony, where they called him chief protector. nations across Western Port, as history will attest. No harm to women or children over an 8-week long campaign. Issued out an arsenal as they set fire.
Been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.